Hello, world. Welcome to my show, Sight for Sound, Life Coaching with a Twist. Happy holidays. Hope you are taking some time to enjoy the spirit of the holidays and the snow. I know we got a lot of snow out there in the East Coast, and just taking the time to enjoy it. It's a hectic time of year. My name is Janet Kaleri. I am your host and life coach, and my show is Sight for Sound, and Sight for Sound stands for the more you see yourself, or that you see things as they truly are, the sounder choices you make in life. So it is based on the more I know myself, the better my life works. It is what I don't know about myself that is in the way of creating the results that I say are really important to me. And you'll notice sometimes I speak in first person, and that's for you to absorb first person, so it, you're talking about yourself, and you absorb. So this show is it's about igniting your potential, and quite often I have guests on the show. Today I do not have a guest, and my show is open for discussion. I am a life coach in Los Angeles, and I teach leadership. I work one-on-one with clients, all sorts of people, from actors to entrepreneurs to real estate investors. I work with organizations like Inside Out Community Arts, and I do motivational speaking. I love to speak, so if you're out there listening and you would like to hire a speaker for your workplace, talk to me about it. I love speaking, love being around people, and again, my mission, my purpose is igniting human potential, and this radio show is for you, so it is free for you, my audience. And take advantage of it. You are welcome to call in anytime. And again, the toll-free number is 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. The local number is 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. And if you're calling from Canada, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Our last show a couple of weeks ago was really fun. We had a lot of callers call in, and you don't need to use your real name if you're a little shy about calling in, but I'm here to answer your questions or ask you questions so that you come to answers on your own. And first I'll just describe to those who haven't heard my show thus far, what is coaching? And coaching is results-based, forward-moving. It is a process, a relationship that is fun and confidential and non-judgmental. And the way it works is I ask a lot of questions to either the one-on-one client or the organization or company, and give that space for them to come to the answers on their own. And that way they have a greater sense of ownership. So if I gave you the answer versus if you came to the answer on your own, do you think you would have a greater sense of ownership if I gave you the answer? Or do you think you would have a greater sense of ownership if you came to the answer on your own? And the foundation of my teaching is ownership and choice. And ownership is an attitude. It's an attitude of what I take on as mine, not from an ego standpoint, but from an accountability and responsibility standpoint. And I teach under the umbrella of purpose. And when people are on purpose, they feel great. They feel joy. They feel energetic. Their life is working well. Their relationships are working well. And maybe you're not sure what your purpose is, and I'm here to assist you in finding that purpose. So that is basically what coaching is. I have several services, one-on-one services. I work one-on-one with people 2, 3, or 4 times a month for at least 6 months, and then a lot of people stay, they continue working with me because they create this relationship as a lifestyle. And I work with organizations, so I work with the founders or the owners, the management, the employees, and assist them in becoming more effective in their communication and creating healthier relationships with each other. Also, some of the results in general are increased productivity, confidence, self-compassion, balance and focus, communication effectiveness, healthier relationships. And if you were to hire me for something in your personal life, it's guaranteed that it'll naturally spill over into your professional life and vice versa. So it really is a fun process, and I feel very blessed to have amazing people in my life that hire me to work with them. And I just love people. I love getting to know people and what makes them tick, and providing them some tools to make some shifts, you know, shifts in an attitude, shifts in the mindset, shifts in habits. It's all fun. It's kind of like a soccer coach or, you know, any kind of sports coach. I mean, that coach is there to give you tools to play a big game and to play it well. And I'm here to provide tools for you to play your big game and play it well. And the coach is a mirror. So the coach, like say a soccer coach, will show the player what they're doing that is working, what they're doing that is not working, and then give them some tools to make some changes. So again, it's leadership, and leadership is, to me, my definition of leadership is creating change that creates value. And if there's no change that's necessary, then that's wonderful. So it's mid-December, we're completing 2007, and maybe we'll talk about completion. I don't have an exact definition of completion on the top of my mind, but I do know that completion looks different. It certainly is done in many areas of my life. It could be completing a habit. So if you have a long-standing habit that you would like to complete, call in 877-876-5227 or call in for anything else. So completion, for me, in general, if I'm completing something, then it opens a door to another opportunity or another possibility. Then there's the completing incompletes. So how many of you out there have a lot of incompletes hanging around and you're anxious to complete everything before 2008 rolls around? Completing the incompletes. So speaking of habits, one of the habits I had was to start something, whether it was a project or a task, and my habit was to not complete it. And I love getting my hands into many projects and tasks. And then I was noticing that all these projects and tasks were not done. So I had a lot hanging around, and started feeling frustrated and questioning why I wasn't getting the results I wanted. And then one of my mentors a few years ago, I said, well, are you complete, or rather incomplete? So I looked at many areas of my life and saw that I had a lot of incompletes. And with that, I just wrote down everything that I wanted to complete. And I went one project or task at a time. And the next project did not begin until I completed the one before that. And once I was done, then I decided I had my hands in too many things, too much going on, so I make it a priority to be focused on two or three things, maybe even one or two, actually, in my life. And that way I have more focus. I have more energy and focus towards that project. So one project I'm working on right now is my book. I started writing this book about a year ago, and right now it's called Me with Me. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep the title. However, it is a book about being good to yourself and putting yourself first so that you have more to give to others. It is generally human nature to give and to nurture and to help. And a lot of times we tend to help and nurture and do for others and put ourselves last. And there was a time in my life when I noticed, I finally told myself the truth, that that just wasn't working. And I needed to get over my guilt about it, that I was making a choice to put myself first and to be good to myself. So one experience with that is in 2000, I felt stuck as if I knew there was something more, there was something that I wasn't being, there was something missing. At that time, I was running a photography business in the music industry in Boston, in that time of feeling stuck, I had asked friends and family, I had invited some friends and family to go on a road trip with me. I had always wanted to drive across the country. And I waited, I don't know, it was probably 4 years. So, but at that time, a lot of my friends and family were in serious relationships. They were getting married, having babies, etc. So I just got real and said, well, I'm gonna go on this trip myself. And so I did, and in my 11-year-old car, and I took off around the country, and I'm very blessed because I have many friends and many whom live around the United States, so I plan my path with times to visit all of my friends, which is such an awesome memory for me. Fast forward, I arrived in San Francisco. And that was the first time I'd ever been to California in San Francisco, and felt the magic when I drove into that city. I think part of it is the scent of eucalyptus. I don't know how many of you have been to San Francisco, but there's this wonderful smell of eucalyptus in that city. It's a magical smell. And I spent only 24 hours there. I visited a friend, had a grand time. And I headed back east, and I cried. I just cried my eyes out for 2 hours heading back east. And I called my sister and said, I don't want to leave the city. I don't want to leave San Francisco. I'm supposed to be here. And didn't really have any other information for myself or for her, but it was obviously a profound feeling because I cried for 2 hours. And so it was at that point that I decided I was going to move to San Francisco. A year later, I gave myself a year to wrap up business and whatnot. And so I completed a certain lifestyle back in Boston. And then I completed many years being very physically close to my family and friends. And I completed my photography business out there in Boston, and set off to San Francisco in 2001. And it was one of the most difficult decisions I made, but I knew that I had to take care of myself. And for some reason, I was being called to go to San Francisco, and so I did, and honored my intuition, honored my gut, and I headed out there, and it's worked really well for me. As most of you know, I landed with an amazing family in San Francisco, and Judy and Randy Revelle and Elizabeth Revelle and Phil Holcomb and Lori Marcoux and all of Context Associated and Extraordinary Learning, and I had a very unique opportunity to travel with them for 2 years and work with them in their leadership courses and personal development courses, and that is when I realized I was going to become a life coach. So, you see, it was a big completion, and it really opened a huge door, a huge possibility and an opportunity to something terrific. And I really, really enjoy my work a lot. It's very rewarding. Our number here, 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. This is a free coaching show for you, so take advantage. Call in, ask questions, share your thoughts on anything. It doesn't have to be completion. It could be anything. So I'm integrating completion here with my book on putting yourself first, and my book isn't complete. In fact, I had a timeline for it to be published yesterday, December 17th, and it's not complete. So that's okay. That is okay. It works for me and a lot of people to give timelines. I don't call them deadlines. I call them timelines. And it works to give yourself timelines. And it's just something to look forward to work towards. And if it doesn't happen on or before that timeline, well, you have choice to make another timeline. And my book, you know, being good to myself and putting myself first, making that choice is definitely completing a way of being. And the way of being in the past was to put everything and everybody first. So how many listeners out there in that space right now, or have recently made the choice to get good with yourself? And through that process, I definitely have been more productive and more confident, and become more of an effective communicator, because putting myself first, I've also learned more about myself, and so I have more knowledge about myself, and that is a tool to create the results that are most important to me. Other thoughts on completion? Well, what are the habits? What are different habits? People think of eating habits, smoking, drinking, what are the habits? I have this incredible program called 21 Days to Yes. And it's a 21-day program where your life is the workshop. And lots of fun, amazing results in a short amount of time. And either eliminating habits or changing them. So reprogramming habits into different habits, healthier habits. I just completed two of these programs with two of my clients, and their lives are forever changed. And they had a blast. They had a lot of fun. What about your automobile? What about completing with your automobile? You know, have you outgrown it? Have you grown as a person and now you're outgrowing your automobile? Maybe it's a quirky question, but ask yourself that question. What about your home or your living space? Have you outgrown your living space? Is it time to expand? Are you expanding as a person? And it's time to expand your living space. Maybe your office space. Are you, you know, a business owner? Are you an entrepreneur? Is it time to change or move your office space? So really, our surroundings, they're aligned with our, with where we're at in our lives. And then when they become misaligned, it's basically because we are expanding and we are growing, and there can be obvious hints about that, like mystery car problems or car problems that are unresolved. I don't know, flooding of the home, clutter. Let's talk about clutter. How much clutter do you have in your home or your office? And what about your relationships? Are there relationships to complete? Is there a relationship? Hey there, we have a caller. Hi there.
Hi, Janet. This is somebody, you know, calling from Japan who's very glad you moved out to San Francisco at that time.
Is this Jay?
Yes, it is.
You're in Japan.
I'm in Japan, and
how are you?
7 a.m. I'm great, and it's the first time I was able to catch the show, and it's interesting that it's on completion.
Talk to me.
How are you?
I'm really well.
Great. This is wonderful. If you could do this an hour or two later, it'd be greater for me. There in Japan.
Yeah, about 9 a.m. after you've had your coffee or tea.
Something like that would be good. Although this is like my first waking moment, so that's, you know, hopefully my mind is in a good place. You know, I've been here now for 3 years, since we last saw each other in San Francisco.
That's right. The last we saw each other was in San
LA.
Francisco. Or was it L.A.? Yeah, I think
it was
L.A. Yeah.
You took some nice pictures of me.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on completion, Jay?
Well, you know, I was just listening. This whole trip was partly about completion with my ex. And it's been a very interesting couple of years. I've got to know her more as a friend now than as somebody that I'll be getting back together with on a permanent basis. I found that, you know, one of the reasons that I came here was to find a career that I really enjoy, the university teaching. So that's worked out well.
So you found a career?
I think I found my career.
And your voice is sounding a little muffled, so I'm repeating some things in case the listeners don't hear you well. And
yeah.
So what are you doing for a career out there?
I'm teaching at the university, Japanese university, teaching entrepreneurship to Japanese graduate engineering students, and it's been great. I've had students go on to, you know, be in the top competitors in national business plan competitions, and it just kind of ties together a lot of the things that I like to do. So it's a great environment, and in the university, but I think that Japan is not my future. I'm giving myself a timeline to the end of the following year. And so I can set myself up to come back to the States, my current plan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I've been able to travel back and forth. I've been up to also, I've been in, through this, I've been able to travel to two of my favorite cities, and I think two of yours, Boston and San Francisco, a lot, related to work that I'm doing here. And so that's given me some access to some things that has been just wonderful. At the Ed School of Education at Harvard, and then our program in Silicon Valley in San Francisco, and so it's just been great.
And so, would you agree that completions are not all that bad sometimes?
I'm somebody who has a history of avoiding completion, as you may know. For me, it's good because, the reason that I came here and I wanted to make sure of something, and I didn't want to have a regret of not trying something to see if we want to get back together. And that was the, this was a 12-year relationship, and, I also, I found that I can get through that thing also.
If you did not complete your romantic relationship, then you wouldn't have such a good friendship with her.
Right.
So you see the benefit in completion sometimes, even though it can be difficult.
Yeah.
And then completing your teaching out in Japan, and so you say you're giving it to the end of next year, and then you come back here?
Yeah, to the end of the, that's my plan. I'm going to be, it's the end of the, I guess it would be the end of the school year from Japan in 2009. It ends in March. That's my, my current plan to do that. So that gives me one more year. I'll be able to grade two more classes set something up in the United States, so I'm not coming in just empty.
Wow, it's so nice to hear from you.
It's great to hear you too. This is wonderful.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the show here. I've been on the radio since mid-August, and I really love it when people call in. Any other area of your life that you want to talk about completion with, or area of your life you want to enhance?
Well, this is a tough one. Part of the reason I'm going back is that my parents are getting older, and I'm probably going to go back to the New York area. My folks are in New Jersey, and my father's suffering a little bit with Alzheimer's. It's not getting any better. I've been able to travel a lot to the States. I've seen them a lot this year. But I also have noticed that it's progressing. So part of it is to have some completion, with parents who are going to be not around forever.
Sure.
So I'm sure that applies to pretty much every human being out there.
Yeah.
Different ways. And how to deal with that. So that's a big completion question. We're going to go back, and, one of the things that they set up, which you really haven't done, is, talk about all the financial situation and, put all that in order. And my father lost his brother this year. My mother's lost two of her best friends. So I think they're also finally, it's something we don't talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. That kind of completion is a hard topic.
Yeah.
So any ideas in that area? Or, that's the ultimate completion.
With people having death around them?
Yeah, your parents, particularly your parents, or, your really close family, or a spouse, or something like that.
Yeah, I would think that it is a process of letting go. I would think, in my own experience, the completion does not happen, in 2 days. It's, sometimes completions are a process. And they're a letting go becoming unattached to what was or what could have been. I just think that when people die, it's their time. And, I believe they're in a better place. I have no proof of that, of course. And my focus would be on what did I love about this person? What am I grateful for about this person? What am I going to take away from this person? You know, some wisdom, and am I committed to applying that in my life? You know, is there a piece of wisdom that I can apply to my life and enhance my life with that? You know, it's an honoring of a person. And I think, you know, in terms of their belongings, like all the stuff, right? All the material stuff. I imagine that would take, you know, the grieving process for everybody is different, but in terms of completion, I think for me, once I let go of all the material belongings of that person, that is assisting in the completion and letting go and being okay with that, you know, with the death of this person. But everybody's different, you know. I'm sentimental. I like to hold on to things like that spark a memory, or, you know, a family heirloom or something. And but the question to ask, I think, for people when they're attempting to complete, especially with death, is what am I hanging on to? Is that helpful?
Yes. Yeah. And hopefully it won't be for a while that I have to complete this, but I think it's... Yeah, I'm sentimental too.
Mm-hmm. Sentimental. Yeah, I know. it's definitely a good question. So, what am I holding on to? And yeah.
Well, I like the idea of how do I honor this person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see what you're doing, and I think you're honoring a good friend of ours, Randy.
Yeah.
For what you're doing.
Yeah, about Randy?
Yeah, I think,
Yeah, I went into a place of honor almost immediately with him. So folks in the audience, Randy Revelle is the founder of Context Associated, the leadership and personal development company I was speaking about in San Francisco, now in Seattle. And both Jay and I were participants in some of those courses. And Randy passed away, was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago? And he passed away abruptly, so there was certainly no, there was no preparation for the completion. It just happened. And I almost immediately went into honor. And I went right into the wisdom and all the blessings and all the tools and everything that I got from being a part of his life. And I decided that he would want me to take that wisdom and apply it in my life wholeheartedly and passionately. And so that's what I did. And That has made it really easy on me, you know, to let go of him in terms of being unattached, you know. So that worked for me. And there are, you know, and there are completions with people that are still alive. You know, there are relationships that end, or perhaps there's somebody that refuses to talk to you and has just, you know, gone MIA, and you may never hear from that person again. And instead of waiting for that person to contact you or say, okay, I'll talk to you, sometimes it's necessary to make that completion inside of yourself. And I have that. I have that going on in my life right now, and I know many people who do. Going back to the beginning of the show in terms of ownership, it's owning your completion. I mean, if you think completing with this person is the most important thing, yet they're not going to do it with you, then do it on your own.
Right. You know, that person is not going to change. You can't change that person.
Right. What was that?
I can't change that person. Well, I can.
Yeah. Your voice volume went way down. Oh, there we go.
I'm on Skype calling from Japan.
Oh, okay. Yay, Skype.
Yay, Skype. Thank God for Skype.
I know many people who have completed a certain dynamic in a relationship. Like you you were romantically involved and you completed that dynamic and now you have a friendship. So, go ahead.
She's somebody I always like to have a connection to in my life. She's probably my best friend right now. So, which is a more healthy relationship, realizing that for me, that, she's my friend. She's not my wife anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because that other relationship wasn't working. This relationship is working.
So you two finally got to a point where you're like, yep, it's time to complete the marriage. It doesn't have to be ugly.
I don't know if she has. I have.
Okay. Okay.
Right now it's good.
Good. And what about what are your thoughts on automobiles and homes and living spaces and?
Listen, I'm a wanderer. I've never had a permanent home that I've owned or a car that I really had for more than a year or two. So I don't really attach to that so much. So completion for me on those issues is not so. Such an issue.
So do you like that sense of newness?
I like new things. I'm more of a what's the word? Not meanderer. I can't think of the word right now. I'm losing my English here.
I like the
novelty. I like new ideas, and that's the whole thing. I'm teaching entrepreneurship, which is all about new ideas and creativity. I'm trying, connects that little creative spark that I've been trying to find. Meeting new people, throwing some new ideas into the mix and see what happens.
I'd like to do a survey on people of novelty, like those who are wanderers and are of novelty, versus people who are, more practical and long-term do a coaching survey and see who has more of an attached mindset. I know you avoid completions maybe in relationship, but a person, loving the newness and the novelty and discovering new things, there's certainly a level of unattachment there.
Yeah, but I think I have a difference between attachment to things and attachment to people and ideas. And there are ideas that stick with me, and there are people that I stick with. I'm incredibly attached to my family, attached to my ex in many ways, attached to you. I'm attached to a lot of the ideas of context. But not so much, the big physical objects. I'm actually more attached to these little things that you'll find, these little mementos, and little reminders of things. And my room in my office at the university looks like a small museum of toys and little gadgets and things.
Yeah.
Grown attached to, that are just cute little devices or, you know, kaleidoscopes or things like that. I have my watch collection.
Sure.
I have a few watches that I really like. But that's, and that's a symbol of time for me. And also, you know, of quality, of workmanship, things like that.
Sure.
And they're also portable, more portable than bringing your house or your car with you.
So yeah.
And by wandering, it's actually more practical for me to be attached to the smaller things that may have a deeper meaning. Some books, some authors also, things like that.
Yeah, I'm interested to find out, survey how many people like mobility versus permanence, because actually nothing is permanent really, but I like the idea of being mobile.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's just, you know, the experience of living in different places gives me a perspective of, the possibilities of how things can be set up differently and be working. I mean, the way Japanese culture with society works is different than, let's say, New York culture, which is different than San Francisco culture.
Mm-hmm.
Which is different than Boston culture.
Yeah, there's a big world out there.
And it's a huge world out there.
Well, Jay, keep in touch, because I lost your emails, and you have mine.
I got your email from the list. That's how I found out about the show. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, so then I still have it. Then I have a working email.
I'm on your list somewhere.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if it was working, though, so now I know it's working.
No, it's working. It's working well.
Well, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. I'm actually going to be back in New York. I'm arriving in New York on Christmas Eve and be there for 2 weeks with family.
Fun.
Hopefully I'll catch a show. Are you going to be on over the holiday season?
I'm going to be on New Year's Day, folks. New Year's Day. That's going to be fun.
Okay. Fortunately, it's not that early in the morning.
No, it'll be 5 p.m. East Coast time.
Hopefully I'll be able to catch it. I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to be New Year's Eve yet, but hopefully I'll be able to catch it. And until then, I wish you a very happy New Year.
Thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts.
Thanks for being there.
Okay. Talk to you soon,
bye-bye.
Jay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, that was a wonderful surprise. Jay from Japan. I liked his thoughts on completion it's food for thought here. Completion in the dynamic of a relationship. It doesn't mean the entire relationship's got to complete, but maybe a specific dynamic of it. And it seems that completion is necessary in order for something else to come in. I imagine that if human beings did not complete their lifetime, we'd probably be squished. But too many people on Earth. Too many people. 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. We've been talking about completion a lot because it's the end of the year. If you want to talk about anything or ask any questions, call in. Doesn't have to be related to completion. And I think I was talking about completion of a habit, completion of your automobile or your home or your office or your relationship. Would love to hear other people's thoughts on completion and where that lies in your life. Guess we could look at plants and flowers and how they consistently go through completions and they shed. They get rid of the old, they get rid of what's not working, they get rid of what's not necessary, and then they start anew and they grow again. Kind of a cool life, I think. Would love to hear people's opinions on whether you think, you know, you should stay in a home, you know, where you're living for a certain amount of time, or you should stay in a relationship for a certain amount of time, and you should do this and you should do that, because the should word is very interesting. It has a lot of resistance and obligation in it. Now that I'm talking about it out loud today, I imagine, well, I know that from past experience living in the should, I was definitely not willing to let things go, to complete things, and or had a very hard time completing, because that should is like a, I don't know, it's like a leash or a chain or something attached to something. Think about that. Thinking I should or you should, or saying I should or you should or they should. What does that generate in your body? What does that generate really in your subconscious? Are you a should person? And are you, if so, are you a person who embraces completion or resist it? What about traditions? Traditions, now that's something that's pretty tough to complete, at least in my opinion. Coming from an Irish Italian Catholic family in Boston, we had lots of traditions, and we still do. And there were some that, you know, that just stopped, and now they have been reactivated. Or, you know, having friends and then going off to college, and those certain traditions are no longer. And how does it feel for you? Are you okay with it? Are you longing for it? Are you wondering why things have to change? And what are you going to do about it in the new year? What are you going to take with you into 2008? What are you going to leave behind? That is the question. And next week, my next show is on New Year's Day. So that's going to be fun. That'll be a fun show. Have people call in, talk about what's up for the new year, talk about thoughts on resolutions versus reprogramming habits and creating new lifestyles. It's going to be a good conversation. 877-876-5227. We have about 5 minutes left on the show today. We're mainly talking about completion and what that looks like for you. And Jay had asked about, you know, specifically around the death of parents and or the death of a close, a loved one. And yeah, that question to ask is, what am I holding on to? And it's a good question to ask any time of the day for any area of your life. What am I holding on to? And why am I holding on to it? What's my intention in holding on to this? What do I think is going to happen if I continue to hold on to it? What am I afraid will happen if I let go of it? What will I think of myself if I let go of it? You know, that guilt thing. Somebody that you love is no longer in your life, and you keep hanging on to them because you feel guilty to let them go. You think, maybe you think you're dishonoring them if you let them go. You know, if you complete with them and let them go. Is that going on in your head right now? I know some people it is. And, you know, well, if I let go of this person, if I complete and accept that they're gone, that's not very nice. It's not very nice of me to do that. And I say, it is nice. I say, I don't know, so let's imagine ourselves going away, that we pass away. And, you know, do we want people to hang on to us? Do we want them to let us go and stay connected? Anyway, it's kind of a depressing topic when I talk about death, so let's go back to completion. December, mid-December now, New Year's is coming up. For those of you who like to use the New Year as a new beginning, as a place to step your 2 feet on the ground and get going and live in your potential, give me a call. Give me a call. I would love to assist you with that. I would be honored. It would be my joy. Call in now, 877-876-5227. Well, I've got a few completes here going on. How many people start on their taxes in December? How many take that first step? So that's a project, right? Taxes, that's a project that takes several steps. And completing that incomplete, how many people are starting that process now so that it'll be complete by April 15th? Have you given yourself timelines for your taxes? Have you scheduled out 2 or 3 windows of time to work on your taxes? This is something I do for myself, and I offer it to friends and clients. Go to your calendar and pre-schedule. Pre-schedule window times to do your taxes. Pre-schedule times to exercise or meditate or be by yourself. Pre-schedule playtime. Pre-schedule whatever your lifestyle is like. And then you may schedule the rest of your life around it. And this way you have no excuse to not do it. But you are human, as am I, and life and truth. Things get in the way. It is, if you want to increase your productivity and be more efficient and organized and focused, I do highly recommend that. Pre-scheduling, the example is pre-scheduling time windows to do your taxes. Rescheduling exercise, playtime, downtime, date time. If you're a business owner, you know, administrative time, marketing time, decorating for the holiday time, Christmas shopping time, birthday shopping time. When you pre-schedule it, it's already there. You don't need to think about it. And then as your days go on and your life fills up, you schedule around what's already there. It's a marvelous trick. And we have a couple minutes left, 877-876-5227. If anyone has any last thoughts, questions, they'd like to share in December, the end of 2007. Again, my next show is January 1st, New Year's Day. It'll be very, very fun. If you have any questions about coaching or my services, you can find my information on the BBS Radio website, bbsradio.com/sightsforsound. Sight for sound. The more you see things as they truly are, the more sound you become, the more sound choices you make. And that's it, folks. I'm signing off here on Tuesday, December 18th. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. Thank you, BBS Radio, for this opportunity to ignite human potential and have it as a free service for people. And I look forward to sharing more with you in a couple of weeks on New Year's Day. Until then, happy holidays. Be careful. Take good care of yourself. Bye.